for what's coming as well. It's the connection sermon. Say the connection sermon. Amen. And as we get into the new year, as far as the Julian calendar, how many know we're already in the Hebrew calendar? I'll get into that in a minute. But as we get into the new year, I want to do a series. I feel led to do a series on the parables of Jesus. I don't think I'm going to do them all because I don't know if I can hold your attention that long. I'm not talking about in one Sunday. I mean, just. But how many know, and obviously I've preached on some of these parables throughout the years, but to specifically look at it, because Jesus was very intentional about this, and he spoke a lot of parables. In fact, the Bible says he didn't speak publicly unless he used a parable. So it's interesting that we need to look at it that way. So we'll talk about that, and we'll just see which parables the Lord would have us to go through. But you're going to love this series. It's going to be important, and I hope that you'll be here when it gets started. So let's get into this message, the connection for what's next. The connection for what's next. We are in the year, the Hebrew year. The Hebrews don't start with the birth of Christ. Duh. They start earlier than that. They believe with Adam. And they believe this is the year 5,786. 5,786. It's funny that scientists in the world believe that the world is millions of years old. Not really. Not really. You know, as I was traveling from, we were, and by the way, thank you for allowing us to be with the grandkids, and what a great time we had with them and the kids. Yeah, I'll include them too. And we had a great time. We were in Nashville part of the time and in Chattanooga part of the time. Got back last night, and it was great. It was great. Amen. And I appreciate you allowing us to do that. And it's going to be 62 degrees today. That's because we brought the warm weather with us. You can thank me at any time. Amen. Now, I have the power to do that for one Sunday. That's it. Monday, I think we're going to be really bad again. But enjoy it while you got it. Amen. We brought it up from Nashville just for you. Whew, praise the Lord. All right. That has nothing to do with my message. But this is the year 5,786. You know, while I was driving down, I would see where they would cut roads into the hillside, and you see the layers, right? And they say that the flood laid those layers. No, they say it took millions of years for that to lay down one layer at another. In other words, the further down the layer, the older the dirt. Amen. How does some dirt be older than other dirt? Isn't all dirt the same? How did some dirt get older than other dirt? I don't understand that. So, no, the flood, I'm driving through and I think, Noah's flood did that. And they say, it took millions of years, but yet you ever see, it's a perfect line. How did it stay perfectly? No erosion, no water running through, no wind blowing dirt around. A perfect line. And this is all over the world like this. Thank you, Noah. Noah's flood laid those down, layer upon layer, as the waters receded and different types of dirt would lay down. Okay? You got your lesson for the day? I just want to assure you the world is not as old as they say it is. 5,786. But the Hebrew numbers all have corresponding letters, and they take a lot of interest and a lot of concern about what numbers, numerology, what numbers mean, what letters mean, the corresponding letters. So let's talk about this. I hope I don't lose you in the weeds, so hang on here, right, okay? So 5,786, the last number is the year that we're in, 6. It is the Hebrew letter Vav. And I think we have a picture of it. It's the letter Vav. And it's a very, look how simple this letter is. It's basically a straight line with a hook on the top. And that letter right there is not just some letter like in our alphabet, okay? It looks like a line with a hook, or it looks like a tent stake or a peg. It is often used as the letter and. But it's more than just and. It's more than just this and that, 6 and 7. See, the old people still don't know what I'm talking about. I got to do that too. Well, there's that. I wonder if that's where that came from, but they're too lazy to say half a dozen of another, so they say 6, 7. lazy generation. Okay, anyway. Whew, glory to God. Bless them, Lord. So the number 6. Let's go to Genesis 1:1. Because it's very important to find where things are first said in the Scriptures. And often that tells us what the word means. So the first time we see the Vav is right there in Genesis 1:1, right at the beginning of the Word of God. And it says, in the beginning, right, God made the heavens, Vav, and the earth. And it's not just that he did it. What they're saying by using the Vav right here is that the heavens were connected to the earth. You say, well, so what? This is important because Christianity is the only religion where God wants to live with us. There's a connection between heaven and earth, and we want to talk about that connection a little bit today. So there is this connection. There is this first usage of Vav. There's a connection between the spiritual world and the natural world. The number 6 is also the number of a man. Not just man, woman, but man in general. It's the number of a man. Okay? It's also the number for all 6 directions. It's used as that. It's up, down, right, left, front, back. All 6 directions are connected to the Vav. So the Vav connects us up, down, right, left, front, back. God wants us totally connected. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. I think most useful is the fact that the Vav is used most often in Exodus, where it talks about the construction of the tabernacle. What's the tabernacle? That's where God said, I'll meet with you. I'll meet with you in the tabernacle. Okay? And every time we read about the construction of the tabernacle, it starts out with those tent stakes. Let me know if you have a tent, you got to have the stakes to stake it down. Those stakes are the word or the letter Vav. The tent stakes connect the tent to the earth and the tent to heaven. All the curtains that are hung. How many know they didn't use drywall back then? All the curtains that are hung, inside, outside, all the outer gates, everything's curtained off. Those curtain rings, all those curtain rings are the letter Vav, because it's the rings that connect the poles with the curtains. There's a connection between heaven and earth there. In the book of Exodus, the hanging curtains, the tent stakes, all this is connected to the word, to the letter Vav. But this is a powerful thought. It's in the shape of a nail, you could say, or a hook. And Jesus hung on a cross, nailed Vav to a tree. Jesus didn't just die. He became the connection between heaven and earth. He came down from heaven, took on the form of a man. Hello, Christmas. And became a man because he wanted to make sure we understood. He knows what you go through. He knows what you feel. He knows what you've been through. And he hung there between heaven and earth. He is. The crucifixion is the connection that you have between heaven and earth. And the resurrection is the power to keep it and to make it happen. Somebody give me an amen right there. Or give Jesus an amen. Give him a praise. Come on, come on. Praise. Hallelujah. He's the connection. He didn't just make a connection. He is the connection. He didn't just send something down. He didn't hang an angel on there. He hung there as the connection. But I like this other use for the vav. This is interesting. One of the uses for the vav, the and, is that any time in Hebrew grammar, okay, if you understand grammar, every time that you have a verb in the past tense, I had a horse, I was in Nashville, okay, that's past tense. But anytime you want to make a verb present tense, one thing you could do is just add the vav to it. And it automatically changes the tense from past tense to future tense. God, you say, well, what does that mean? That means God can deal with your past. He can change what happened to what should be. He can change the hurt. He can change the pain. He can change the failures. Come on. Y'all had too much turkey. Are you okay? If I never see another turkey, I'll be fine. We cooked it. We ate it. We shared it. We drug it back from Tennessee. We got the turkey. Amen. Thank God there was ham too. Amen. I'm here to tell you he's able to turn. He didn't have to write a whole sermon out to change your past. He didn't even have to have a complete sentence. He just sent one letter. One letter from the throne room of God can change what you've been through to what it should be in the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on and help me. Praise the Lord. Our past does not determine our future. Can I get an amen? Oh, praise the Lord. But that's not all. That's not all. Because we also could go back one more number, 5786. The 6 represents the year we're in. The 8 represents the decade we're in. So this is the year of the vav, the year of connection. But the 8, where is the mouth? It's the pay, P-A-P-E-H, P-E-Y, I'm sorry. We're in the year and the decade of the mouth. And this is what I want you to get if you've been sleeping, wake up. This is the year specifically that God is going to help us, maybe teach us how to use your words to make divine connections that will not only change your life, but those around you. Come on, somebody help me with this message. I'm almost done if you're bored already. Hang in there. God is going to teach us to use our mouth, our words, to connect heaven and earth. Your words will anchor you to what you say. Anchor you to failure or victory, depending on how you speak. How many know we need to be careful what we say? Oh, Jesus, help us. Four areas you can use your mouth especially. How about in prayer? How about we pray in such a way that we believe what we say? How about praise? Praise. Well, how is praise? Listen, when you praise God, you're saying you're able. When you praise God, you're saying God's going to do it. When you praise Him, you say God's done it. When you praise Him, you say, I believe in Him. Come on. It sets the devil back when you praise the Lord. Some of you, when you praise the Lord, it's the only time you're not cursing. I'm sorry. There's a difference between cursing and cussing. Okay. Praising the Lord. So there's prayer, there's praise, and then prophecy. What's prophecy? Prophecy is repeating what you hear from God. Some people say prophecy is just about predicting the future. No, prophecy, the word prophecy in the Greek means to speak forth. It means to speak forth what God put in your heart. And when you repeat what God says, that's got to happen. That has to happen. And we need to speak it more often. Don't be shy about what God said. Don't you care what anyone else thinks. If God said it, one person said, God said it and I believe it. You know what? It doesn't matter if you believe it or not. He said it. Amen. Say amen. The fourth one, those three started with P, easy to remember. But there's one right here, decrees. We don't use those as often. I thought for a minute, I looked that up in the dictionary. I did this morning. It means a decree. Here's Brother Webster. Lost his name there. Brother Webster said, well, he was a Christian. It's a formal and authoritative order. Say order. Especially one having the force of law. There are things that are lawful. There are things that God has set. Listen, if you read in the Bible, what it says has the force of God's law. And it's time that we start proclaiming these decrees. I am healed. I am saved, devil. I am an overcomer by the blood of Jesus. Take that, devil. Come on. Woo! The devil is a liar. How about that one? That's a decree. So we need to figure out the decrees in the Word of God. Those that have the force of God's law, and push them out into the atmosphere and speak them over our lives. How many are okay? Amen. There's a Christian writer, prophetic person, Jane Hammond. Maybe you've heard of her. I was reading a little bit of her message on this, and she called what we're in voice wars. The voice wars. Whew. There's a war going on between what the devil says and what God says. And there's a war going on in our minds about what God said and what the enemy's whispering or things we just say that we ought not say. Your words do have power. And you need to be careful what you say. Come on. I'm not trying to get weird about this, but you need to understand there is power in what you say. There's power in how you speak over your young children. Quit calling them names. Because I'm not even going to repeat them. You know what I'm talking about. Your fill in the blank. They hear that. They internalize that. They may fight against it, but they're going to have to fight. But many of them just assume that's right. I guess my dad was right. I guess I'm helpless, stupid, never amount to anything. You need, listen, God didn't make a nobody. God didn't make a nothing. God didn't waste his time with your children. They were, their lives were planned from the beginning of, well, oh, back up. For all eternity, we were in his mind. If that doesn't blow your mind, it's because you're not thinking. All eternity. Your little life was rolling around in God's head. Now that's important. Don't belittle anybody or anything, especially your children, your grandchildren. We need to speak positively into their lives because they have a purpose and a destiny. I don't care who they are. I know some of you are thinking, yeah, but I know there's so-and-so, and I don't think, yeah, well, there still was destiny for that person. They may be a drug addict and living out on the streets, but that wasn't God's intention. And there is ability within them. If we can just, if somebody can just speak into their lives. I often wonder, where would I be if the Lord hadn't spoken? I mean, everybody I grew up with is dead. Not of natural causes. Where would I be? I got a reason to thank God every day. Now, you may not think I amounted to anything, but I, as far as I'm concerned, I did all right. So, oh, thank you, thank you. I'm looking who's clapping, who's not. I'm looking. Let me look. I got to quit this self-deprecating humor. It's not serving me well, I tell you. It's not. But she talks about voice wars, and she said there's five specific areas that we really have to fight in. Real quick. It's not a five-point sermon. Hang on. We fight in the area of souls being saved. Listen, your loved ones, it's a war. Just wake up and realize it. It is a war, so don't avoid it. Get in it and speak victory and watch them come into the kingdom. Worship. Worship. There they are up there. Worship. If you ever began to worship God and you just, it's like, right, we talk about the heavens being brass and you just can't get through. The devil knows if I can just distract them, if I can just hinder them, if I can just remind them how tired they are, too tired to pray, too tired to worship. Worship is a battle. Let me tell you, as pastor, I know what we're talking about here. I feel it while the music's going. And by the way, preaching is part of the worship. I heard something the other day, and you could do... No offense to Jason, he does a fantastic job. But he said, your worship leader is not your worship leader. Your pastor is your worship leader. Yeah, I thought about that. I've gone to churches and see the pastor. He's over there bored out of his mind. Come on, get it over with so I can preach. That's what's important. No. The pastor needs to be out here in the congregation worshiping the Lord, leading. He needs to be the number one worshiper in the house of the Lord. Listen, you never get too mature to react. I mean, maybe physically you can't. You know, I get that, but I can still. I'm good with it as long as Gloria's not in here. Careful. Got to go home with her. Amen. Actually, we drove separately, but we'll meet eventually. Say worship. Power. Anytime you need to draw down power, anytime you need the power of the Holy Ghost, devil's going to show up to fight you. Then she says, number four, supply lines. I like that. Supply lines. If you have a military mindset, you understand the importance of supply lines. I don't know how many battles I read, like Napoleon or Hitler invading Russia, and they overextended their supply lines. It doesn't matter how strong your army is if they can't eat. If they don't have warm clothes in the middle of a Russian winter, come on. They overextended their supply lines. A good general always knows it's not just about the battle, it's about the supply lines to the battle. You got to guard those things, amen. And the enemy knows if he can wear you out, doesn't matter how much you want to praise the Lord. If he wore you out, you're sitting down halfway through. I know some of you need to, please. But listen, if he can cut off your supply line, you're not praying like you used to, not in the scriptures like you used to. If he can cut off your supply line, doesn't matter how strong you think you are, you need what God has. Can I get an amen? And the last one I'll mention is culture. And boy, if we've ever been in it. You know, when I was growing up, it didn't matter if you were saved or not. Everyone was kind of the same. I mean, just look at Andy Griffith. Even the town drunk sang in the choir. I mean, right? You know, nothing weird about that show? Nobody was married except the town drunk. Think about it. Everybody in Andy Griffith is single. What's the town drunk's name? Otis. Otis is married. And that's why he was. I'd have found my way there. Oh, you said it first. Okay. Okay. I didn't think you were doing. What kind of town is that where everyone's single but the town drunk? I don't. Anyway, where am I? Culture. The culture's changed. We're not in Mayberry anymore. In fact, they went to the make-believe town of Mayberry in North Carolina, and it's the leading city for drug abuse in the state of North Carolina. Mayberry's not Mayberry anymore. Come on, church. We're fighting it in every area. You know I could spend an hour here talking about the culture wars. And listen, we don't need to be ugly about it. We don't need to be angry about it, as it were. Be angry and sin not, at least. But listen, we need to understand. We need to make a stand. Right is still right, and wrong is still wrong. We don't mean to hurt anyone. We're not prejudiced. We're not weird. Amen. We're not living in the past. We're living in the Word. Come on. Sexual sin is still sexual sin. You come to church, sit in the pew, but sin is still sin. Homosexuality is a gross sin. But there's a lot of other things that are sins as well. And we need to understand sin is sin. You don't have to just get ugly about gay people. Amen. Sin is sin. Treat them all the same. Treat them with love. But you have to make a stand. People come to me all the time, Pastor, what am I going to do? My kids are doing this. My kids, should I throw them out of the house? I said, look, you need to love them. However you think that, I mean, but you got to make a stand. You can't let things into your house, I understand. But at the same time, you have to love them. It's the only thing that will ever change them. Your rules won't change them. The love of God will change people. Am I understood? We are in a culture war. All right, now real quick, what does the scripture say? James 3, I'm almost done, hang in there. James chapter 3, verse 5. Let me just get through this real quick. A bit in the mouth of a horse controls the whole horse. Somebody know what the Bible's talking about? A small rudder on a huge ship in the hands of a skilled captain sets a course in the face of the strongest winds. God, there's a three-point message right there. Whew. A word out of your mouth may seem of no account, but it can accomplish nearly anything or destroy it. Or destroy it. Let's go to the next verse. It only takes a spark, remember, to set off a forest fire. Hello, California. Just some idiot up there on the hillside. A careless or wrongly placed word out of your mouth can do that. But by our speech, we can ruin the world, turn harmony to chaos, throw mud on a reputation, send the whole world up in smoke, and go up in smoke with it. Smoke right from the pit of hell. This is scary. You can tame a tiger, but you can't tame a tongue. It's never been done. Woo. Come on, message. Do a little rhyme in there. The tongue runs wild, a wanton killer. With our tongues, we bless God our Father. With the same tongues, we curse the very men and women he made in his image. Curses and blessings out of the same mouth. My friends, this can't go on. Remember, he's talking to Christians. Not talking to sinners. This is James. This can't go on. A spring doesn't gush fresh water one day and brackish the next, does it? It's one or the other. Apple trees don't bear strawberries, do they? Raspberry bushes don't bear apples, do they? Thank you, James. You're not going to dip into a polluted mud hole and get a cup of water, clear, cool water, are you? James is laying it on the line. Some of you don't even want to talk to James when you get to heaven. James. But what about this? What about Matthew? What did Jesus say? Jesus, chapter 18, verse 18. Take this most seriously. A yes on earth is yes in heaven. A no on earth is no in heaven. This is bigger than you think. I think sometimes we took this wrong, like we can control heaven. No, no, no. It just means it has authority. And you will be held responsible because what you say is recorded and has consequences. Well, I hope I can find a happier place to land. What you say to one another, like this sermon, Jesus, is eternal. That's what it means. Yes and no in heaven and earth. I mean this. And then we quote that next scripture out of context. Look at the context I just read. When two of you get together on anything at all on earth and make a prayer of it, my Father in heaven goes into action. And when two or three of you are together because of me, you can be sure I'll be there. Woo! I'll be there. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Okay, verse 21. This is Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Good fruit, rotten fruit, you will eat of it, because death and life are in the tongue. Stand your feet, praise God. You know, after church, it's going to be really quiet. It's going to be. Think of something positive right now before you leave. Right? That is positive. I didn't say anything bad today, did I? You might feel bad, but I didn't say anything bad. Wow. Death and life. Death.